on the Parsha.
Oh, the Arizal? Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Here, Rabos, I want you to take this page and look on the bottom part of the page first, because I wanted you to see the Rashi before we get to our discussion. And the pasuk says, "Vayisa Einav." This is the very beginning of Parshas Vayera. Vayisa Einav Vayar Vihine Shlosha Anoshim Nitzav Mal Vayomer. And then the next,
I deal with giving it out.
Then the next word is Ado, and then it says Noi, right? And we're not sure exactly what that word means. Is he addressing the Malach? Maybe the leader of the three Malachim? Then it has a what's called the status of Chol. Or is it addressing God Almighty, and therefore it has the status of Kodesh? In other words, Avraham Avinu is busy doing what? Do you remember? It's the third day after his Mila, and what is he busy with? He's busy with Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, because the pasuk testifies to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayera Elav Hashem, Rashi says, Kedei Levakar Sachol, God appeared to Avraham Avinu, but then he sees the three men going by, so he's kind of like in a bind. So Rashi offers two different interpretations, right? You'll see that on your page. The first pshat is that he spoke L'Gadol Shebehen Omar. He spoke to the most significant, or most, you know, high-powered Malach, who was in charge, who was coming Levaser to tell them that they would have children. And he called him an Adon. And Rashi concludes the first pshat by saying, "Ubloshen hazeh hu chol." Then he says, "Dover acher, Hashem hu kodesh." That the name of Hashem here is kodesh, because God is turning to Hashem, and He's asking Hashem, "Lahamtin lo, please wait for me, God. Don't go away. Let me run and take care of the archim." And it seems to be in the Gemara in Shavuos two opinions as to whether or not the name of Hashem is Chol, the name Ado right now is Chol or Kodesh. And the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf Zayin quotes Rabbi Yehuda the name of Rav, Gedol Achnas Archim Yikabos Pnei Shechina. How do you think Rav knows to derive the conclusion that Achnasas Archim trumps the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina? That's a very heavy statement.
Right here,
because what did Avram say?
I'll see you, God.
You say, God, hold in, I gotta, you know, hang in there for me, I gotta take care of the Archim, and God acquiesced, he really agreed to Avram Avinu's plan. So the bottom line is, you see how great Achnasas Archim is, and the Mefarshim say that Achnasas Archim is even greater than the mitzvah of Tzedakah, because Tzedakah just means spending money for someone, but Achnasas Archim, you do a lot more than that. You have to make him feel comfortable. You have to give him a certain sense of chashivus, of how important he is. So it's not just spending money for him and feeding him, but it's also reflects the kavod that you want to give to that person and try to make him feel absolutely at home, be very sensitive to the person's needs. You know, Achnasas Archim is the mitzvah that requires a whole treatise. You have to write a whole book on how to, you know, in Achnasas Archim. And a lot of it we derive from Avraham Avinu. You've heard of a book called Avas HaChesed. Yeah, who authored that book?
Chofetz Chaim.
And in the Chofetz Chaim, he goes through this entire first section of Parshas Vayera, point by point, blow by blow, deriving from each particular point another halach and Achnasas Archim. How to receive guests. The first thing you have to do is give him a place to rest and give him a drink to drink and so forth and so on. Now, in the light of this comment of Rashi in his second pshat, I have to ask you the following fundamental question: which is greater, Bein Adam LaMakom or Bein Adam LaChavera? In other words, Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, which was Avraham Avinu's mitzvah then, is Bein Adam LaMakom. Every Bein Adam LaMakom elevates a person. It brings him to a higher spiritual level as he becomes Dovek B'Shechina. He clings to God. On the other side of the equation, we have Bein Adam lechaver like achnasas orchim, making some human being feel comfortable, feel good, filling his needs, servicing him. Who omed aleihem, and we know that Avraham Avinu and Sarai made his great achnasas orchim, which seems to be greater. Based on what you see in this Rashi, in the parasha.
Isn't every Minan Bechamer a Minan Malachim?
Oh! Okay, good, we'll come back to your point. But Nachum is going even beyond my intention here. What do you see just from the text that we're studying here?
Bein Adam Lechaveiro is better.
Bein Adam Lechaveiro is more important. You know, as he drops the Bein Adam Lamakom, forget about this side of the page, just this. He drops the Bein Adam Lamakom even at his own personal expense, because for those moments, he's no longer clinging to God. Did you realize the impact of that?
Yeah.
So for the sake of Bein Adam Lechaveiro, Achnas Orchim, he's going to give up on his great madrega of clinging to Hashem. Clinging to Hashem, Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, is like the greatest. What greater impact can you have on a person than having that person cling to the Shechina?
To be like that person.
That's an excellent point. Maybe the reason why Hachnasas Orchim trumps Kabbalas Pnei Shechina is because of the action in which we imitate HaKadosh Baruch. Now, I want to mention to you the Archaim HaKadosh is quite famous, but it always pays to say this over. It says, Vayiven Avram Mizbeach Lashem Hanira Elov. Thank you so much. And God appeared to Avram Avinu. The Pasuk says in our parasha, why did God appear to Avram Avinu? In order to tell him that he would have children who would inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael.
Why did he?
No, I'm saying, the Pasuk testifies that God came to Avram Avinu and told him, L'zarecha etenes aretz hazos. And immediately following it says, Vayiven Avram Mizbeach Lashem Hanira Elof. Excuse me. Says the Archaim, why did the pasuk just says Vayera Elof Hashem and then it says Lashem Hanira Elof? Isn't that redundant? Isn't that repetitious? Of course, Avram built him his bear. For whom? For which God? For the God that just appeared for him in the previous pasuk. Says the Archaim that the simcha of Avram, the pure joy of Avram, was greater for the Lashem Hanira Elov, for the fact that God appeared to him, than the joy of Avram at having found out that he's going to have children who will inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk adds the words Nira Elov, Shenira Elov, to tell you that this was the epitome of joy for which Avram, in his expression of gratitude, built him his bath, brought a carbon toda, and he thanked God because what? You would have said because Avram will have children, or because his children, his descendants, would inherit Eretz Yisrael. Says the Archaim, no, because Hashem Nira Elov. All of Avram's aspirations, all of his dreams, you remember he searched for God for many years. Vayera Elov Hashem, God appears to Avram. Anybody know how old Avram is? 75. When did Avram discover, when did he believe in monotheism for the first time?
Three.
Some say he was 3, some say he was 48. But anyway, decades and decades until finally God appeared to him. You can imagine, this was his life's dream. The aspiration of Avram, that Hashem would finally appear to him and clinch all of Avram's emunah, elevate Avram, because Avram would now cling to whom? To HaKadosh Baruch. That's the Archaim on Lashem HaNira Elov. Isn't that a beautiful Archaim? And if you plug it back here, Avram gives up those moments that he has with the Shechina for the sake of what? Hachnosis Archim. 3 Arab wayfarers who are idol worshippers. You know, they got idol, they got a Avodah Zarah on their feet. And Avram says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "No matzasi chen beinecha al na tavor mi'alot." But the bottom line, Rav Osser, we see something very phenomenal. That a person, if he wants to imitate Avram, has to be willing to give up on his own personal achievement, his own madrega, for the sake of someone else. And we see this in Avram at the beginning of the parasha, and I think we're going to see it again later on in this week's parasha. If you take a look at the top of your page, the pasuk says God describes His love for Avram Avinu. Why did He choose Avram? Ki yedativ leman asher yitzave es bonav es beiso acharav. Rashi says yedativ is lashon chiba. Leman means because. So the Torah is now addressing the following question: why does God love Avram? No, if you would ask me, I would have quoted to you the famous Bryce and Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar by Sora Nisyonos Nistasamem Avram Avinu, the Yomad Bekulam, the Mysterious Nefesh of Avram, Kivshon Eish, the Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, the fact that he suffers famine and he doesn't question the Ribono Shel Olam, he's childless, the Akedah. No. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. Why does God choose Avram? Why does God love Avram? Leman, because, says Rashi, Yitzaves Bonaves B'nei Beis O'Acharo. Says Rashi, Lefishu Mitzaves Bonav Olai, meaning referred to God, Lishmar Darki. The greatness of Avram and the love that Hashem feels for Avram is because Avram is going to take the tradition, he's going to take the Derech Hashem, and he's going to pass it on to others. He's going to share it with others, with his own children. I'm reminded of a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara says the following: let's say you have only enough money in the pot to send your child to a cheder, to Torah education, or to send yourself and pay yeshiva tuition. Sometimes you can get a break in yeshiva tuition. I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know what they charge here, but do they have scholarships here? They have a few. All right. But let's say you can't get a scholarship. So let's say tuition costs 10. If you send your child to school, that's it. You exhaust all your money and you have nothing left in the bank. So who comes first? So the Brisa establishes in Masechta Kedushin, who kodem livno? You come first. You don't have to give up your education for the sake of your child. So I don't want to publicize this to your dads, because any one of your fathers can come to me and say, Rabbi Berzon, I'm not paying land to college for my son Yoshua. I want to come learn myself. And he'd be in the right to do so. The Gemara has a case which is exceptional. Right. There is an exception to the case, but you should know the fundamental rule is who kodem livno. Dad can say, I want to learn in yeshiva, right? So basically, when a person gives up his own personal achievement for the sake of his fellow Jew, for the sake of his family, that itself is a great sacrifice. And who in Jewish history is going to teach us that midah? It's Avram Avinu. Take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban says, what does Leman mean over here? And I underline the most important part of the Ramban. He says, Ba'avur Asher Yitzave es Bonav Achrov, because he will command his son. Which basically means he will pass on the tradition. And I want to share with you a drasha of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says the following. We'll look at the second paragraph on the left side of your page. You have that? He quotes Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in Chagiga, Hakel es kol ha'am. We know that once in 7 years, the mitzvah of what? Of Hakel. Anoshim v'anoshim v'taf. Im anoshim boim lilmot. Noshim boz lishmo taflam boim kidei litein schar l'miveihem. So the Chasam Sofer has a very unique way of looking at this Gemara in Chagiga. He says the following: Bira mamar ki hatzah hazos anoshim boim luma anoshim boim lishmoa l'siyua l'sheilas taf lama bo. Kiatinokos mevatli mi libud milishmoa. When a father takes his child to hear hakel, it's a whole hassle. He has to give up a little bit on his lilmod. If a mother takes a child, she's going to have to give up on her lishmoa. A person has to be mechanech his child, and that's his merit. So there's a give and take over here. You forfeit a little bit of your madrega, your achievements in learning, for the sake of the chinuch of your child. Hashem says, "Liten tzchar l'mivieyam." Are you going to get tzchar time and Talmud Torah for it? That doesn't say it. You'll get tzchar because of the significance of passing on the Torah to your child. Where's the source for that? Why do I have to give up my achievements, my progress to reach greater heights for the sake of my child? Look at the top paragraph. Omnam kenu. Ki b'teva b'nei Avram Avinu olav ha-sholom. It's in our nature, because we are the descendants of Avram Avinu. Kol echad mis'ave v'choshek lahamid b'no. Every Jew has a taiva, a desire, and a cheshek. He longs, he yearns to set up his son. Lamid, lamod, chazak b'yiras Hashem v'toroso. Why do I want so much, more than anything else, that my children should go in my footsteps, and they too should be observant Jews? Why do I desire that? Is it because there's a mitzvah in the Torah? On the contrary, the mitzvah in the Torah is incumbent upon me, from vis-a-vis my own learning. But the answer is, this is something that's in our teva. It's in the nature, it's in the fabric and the fiber of a Jew. Where did he get it from? Who established that hereditary desire and craving of a father to give over to his child? Kirichsiv says the Chassam Sofri Avram Avinu Avosham Ki Yedativ. What is great about Avram? What makes him so unique? There were other scholars in his generation. There were those who learned in the Beis Medrash of whom? Of Shem V'Ever. But Ki Yedativ L'man Asher Yitzav Es B'no Es Bona Ves Beis O'achra V'Shamru Derech Hashem. So what's so great about Avram teaching his children? Afal pi, please underline these words. Shal yidei zehu mafsid li atzmo. He has to forfeit his own level because he has to sit and teach his children. Nevertheless, mikol makom ke'esh boer bo tshukazu l'lamed bonav Torah Hashem. He's got a fire that burns within him to teach his children the Torah of Hashem, the Yeroso, and the fear of God. Ube emes einochinami, says the Chassam Sofer, mafsid. He has to forfeit mitzvah saseh shal atzmo's own personal mitzvah saseh. De kavonas mitzvah chinuch. Mafsid kavanas mitzvah shal atzmo. The entire nature of the mitzvah of chinuch, of teaching your child and educating him, undermines your ability to fulfill your own personal mitzvah and achieve your own elevation. But on the other hand, scharo shal ha'av gadol yoser v'yoser al hefsid liatzmo. Paradoxically, because he gives up on his spiritual levels, he achieves greater and greater merit, because he functions as a father should to pass on the tradition to his children. Kidei lahamid ben tzadik v'talmud chacham v'hainu kidei litein schar l'mivieihem. Rabosai, in the light of the Chassam Sofer, I ask you the following question. Why is it that the mitzvah of chinuch, to educate my child in Torah mitzvahs, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Did you know that? If it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, it means it's absent where? In the Torah. The Torah doesn't command me. Where is the mitzvah of chinuch in the Torah? V'dibartabam means teach him Torah. But what about chinuch in the broader sense? To guide him in the right path. To teach him how to put on tzitzis. How to put on tefillin when the time comes. How to fast on a fast day. How to celebrate, experience yontif and a Shabbos. That's all chinuch. Why isn't it in the Torah? What do you say, Daniel? It's self-evident. It's natural. It doesn't have to be in the Torah. The mitzvahs in the Torah come from the outside. They compel me. It's kaf aleim harkigigis. It's the will of God. Here, it's natural. And that's why Avram is called what? Avram HaAvinu. What does Avinu mean? We inherit certain traits from Avram Avinu. The Mepharshim say, Reb Chaim Volozhin is very famous in his Pirush HaLavos, how is it that a Jew is able to give up his life on Kiddush Hashem? For Avram Avinu is a tremendous challenge, the Nisayin of Kiddush HaEish. And yet Jews do it all the time, even the simplest of Jews throughout Jewish history, who are willing to give up their lives, says Reb Chaim, because it's Avram Avinu. He implanted in us, in our heredity, in our DNA structure, on a spiritual level, the ability to be omed, to withstand all these tests and tribulations. It becomes natural to a Jew. And therefore the mitzvah of chinuch is absolutely natural to desire, to crave, to raise one's children in the proper way. This is what Avraham Avinu taught us. And I want you to see the hafla on the bottom right of your page. In his Pirush al Torah, the Panim Yafos, he says, "Vayar vayortz lekrosam al no tavar me al avdecha." Pirush Rashi, Davar Acher Rashi, second interpretation, Shem Zeh Kodesh. That when he says, when he turns to Ado, Noi, right? Vayomer Ado, and then it says Noi al no tavar. It's Kodesh. Who is Avram addressing according to Rashi second shot? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahamtin Lo Ad Sheyorut Tzlach Nosses Orchim. Says the Panim Hamiro, Panim Yafos. Al Pi Pshuto, what it means. Yesh Lomar Keva Dematzinu Gabe Lot Beposka Hashem Omar Avram Achrei Pore Lot Me'olav. Why does it say Hashem appears to Avram after Lot checks out? Where did Lot go to? We discussed this last week. To Stom. All of a sudden Hashem appears to him, says Rashi, the famous Rashi, calls man, Sharosha Imo, Shalod Imo, Ashkina Parish Mimenu. And now he greets three Arabs. Okay, were they big tzaddikim? They had a Avodah Zarah on their feet. So what happens when you chummy up and you conjoin with people who are on a low level? We saw already from Lot that the Dibur is Paresh Mimenu. So Avraham Avinu had a natural fear that Almighty God would leave him. Oh, Shkoya. There's always a chiddush here. Rely on Simcha. He says, Hayachoshesh Avraham Shemet Tistalik Mimenu Ashchina. And Chazal say, Gemara Moed Katan, Torah Yevakesh Mipiu. Imarav Domer, Lemalach Hashem Tzvokos Yevakshu Torah Mipiu. He says, "Amalamed es Talmido Torah, Tzorch Shiyehei Iker Kavanoso Lahalos Das HaTalmid." To upgrade the level of his student. Does anybody need the text? So everybody has it. We have two more copies over here, I think. Oh, okay. Give them out if you can. He says, Afki Mizeh, please underline these words. Mizeh hi minia, it prevents him. Lahalo says atzmo, right? When the Malach has to come down to the level of the Talmud, he loses something in the exchange. Kibo shekosuv, it posuk in Zcharia, sh'odim nikra mahalich, sh'nemar v'nasati l'cha mahalchim ben om v'ma'ele. Kshu mechavein lahalos l'mala, he's got to go down to the level of his Talmud in order to bring him up. The date tree gives birth to fruit. As a result that he has to teach everyone, he's involved in outreach, if you will. He cannot become like the Erez, She'eino Osa Peros, but it's a very tall tree. So you become like the Tamar, and Yifrach, and you give out fruits, even though by giving out these fruits, meaning teaching Torah and sharing it with others, you forfeit your own gova, your own spiritual level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to grant him schar. Mitalmida Yosef Mikulam. That since he dedicates to teach his students Torah, his students will somehow teach him. He'll be elevated. Like a small flame could light up a larger flame. The Hainu Afsha Tzadihu Kitomar Hainu Shosa Peros. And in that schus, he'll be Matzliach. And on the last paragraph, he says, Kevan Shenizgala Elov Hashem Yisborach, once God appeared to Avram Avinu, then who tzarich l'skadish b'ktushiyah seira l'kabel p'nei shechina, Avram would be elevated to a higher level of sanctity. That's Kabbalah Shechina. V'kevan shara anoshim ovrim, he saw these people passing by, v'hoyah kol cheshko l'gayer gerim, but he wanted to reach out with his Torah and pass it on to others. Hayim misyari, what was he afraid of? He would forfeit something from his own personal achievement in terms of linking up with Hashem. Al kein shalom Hashem, he begged God, Allah tavar me al avdecha gedol achnasas orchim. How great is achnasas orchim? Sha'af shoy yochol lalos milo bekabolos pnei hashkini, could have gone higher and higher, but nevertheless hayachaviv all of mitzvah zu, he wanted to reach out to others. And by the way, Chazal say that how, what method did Avram use to be megayer gerim? Correct, he would invite them in, he would feed them. Because the Omeid is the Madrega of a Malach. A Malach is called an Omeid in Tanakh. And man can become a Malach, he become an Omeid, by reaching out to his fellow human being. And Nachum says very well that every mitzvah ben Adam lechavero at the same time is a mitzvah ben Adam lomakom, so you get a double whammy. It's tarti l'tivusa. It's not just ben Adam lomakom. So man is called upon to be like Avram Avinu. Rabosai, we live in a generation where unfortunately there are a lot of tzaddikim, but not so many of them are having an impact on the generation. And that's why we're in a sad state where we see multitudes of Jews that are totally ignorant and no one is touching them. Jews who are not even associated with any movement in Judaism, quote unquote. They're totally alienated, unaffiliated. And Baruch Hashem, the tzaddikim are growing in their own steiging, in their own personal level of spirituality. But what are they doing to reach out to others? Now, I'm not saying that we have to reach out to goyim. Avraham Avinu reached out to everyone, Jew and Goy alike. There were no Yidden to reach out to, so maybe bless Brera, he could only. But Avraham's motto was Tov Hashem Lakol Verachamov Al Kol Ma'asov. And therefore, the mitzvah of Chesed applies to every human being. For us, we should be happy if we can reach out to fellow Jews whose neshamos are craving for some Yiddishkeit, for some Torah, and they have nothing. And that's what the Ramban means when he says, and Rashi reflects it as well, that Hashem chooses Avram. Avram is going to be the model of what a father is all about. Avram Avinu is going to give us, each and every one of us, the ability to follow in his footsteps, because he's our father. And he has penetrated into our heredity, into our DNA structure, that we, like him, will not be satisfied with our own level of religiosity. We're not like all those students of Shem V'Aver that were completely insulated and remained focused only on their own spiritual level, save us. You know, that's all they want to do, Sur Meira. No, we're like Avraham Avinu. We want to go out and share our Torah with others. And I was walking along the streets here, because sometimes I walk on Union Turnpike to get to my son's house. Have you ever gone up Union Turnpike by foot? we're talking towards the higher numbers. Like here, we're on 150. If you go up to the 180s, you will see major landmarks of, I don't know, Hebrew schools and conservative temples and so forth and so on. And they're boasting thousands of Jews who live in that area who unfortunately are very ignorant. And I think we should put on the table the question of how to follow in Avraham Avinu's footsteps and be willing to some extent, again, we have to do it with the Rebbeim, with the Mashgiach, with a certain guidance, but to figure out and come to speak to me about it too, about how to achieve this level of Avraham Avinu. Now, Daniil, you photocopied another Ramban for me, and I appreciate that. Where is that? Because I'm so... What?
Rebbe has it.
Okay, what page is it on?
Tov Samach and on the Ike.
Tov Samach. Oh, so if you can give out that page, and we're going to take a look at the Ramban on Al Tabit Acharecha. This is in Gracious Yudtes, Pasuk Yudtes, so it's easy to remember, 1919. And strangely enough, the tzivui of the Malach to Lot is formulated in the grammatical singular, and it says Al Tabit Acharecha. Ibn Ezra is bothered by this. Who actually died as a result of violating the prohibition that was transmitted by the Malach of Al Tabit Acharecha? Ashes Lot. If Ashes Lot died, what's Al Tabit Acharecha? So Ibn Ezra, the Omar Rabbi Avram, Ata v'chol asher loch, asher lecha. It means that according to Ibn Ezra, even though the word lecha is used, nevertheless, lecha addresses both Lot and Ashes Lot. And he has a proof, Ibn Ezra, v'chein lo sochal mimenu. It doesn't say lo sochlu mimenu. In what context? The Eitz Hadas, it says it in singular. And who is going to violate this? Who's going to be the first, really, to violate this prohibition? Chava. So you see that even though the Torah sometimes addresses one individual in the singular, nevertheless, the command and the imperative is addressed to two people, and they're both equally responsible and liable for violation of that command, of that imperative. Says the Ramban, Matzorich Lazer, I don't need the Ibn Ezra. Thanks, but no thanks. The Ein Ha'onish Bekan Mipnei She'yavru Al Azharas Hamalach. The Ibn Ezra is mistaken in his very premise that the punishment here is for the crime of violating the command that was transmitted by the Malach. That's not so. Now, if you take a look in the Pirush on the bottom, Ravi Avram Fisher, who gave us a Pirush on the Ramban up till and including Chayisar, but not beyond, so we got lucky under the wire. He writes that according to the Ramban, the Ibn Ezra is not correct that Ashes Lot died as a punishment for violating a terrible Avera, the Azaras HaMalach, because the Malach was never commanded to give this Azara, to prohibit them from looking back. And therefore, if the Malach wasn't commanded to pass on that imperative, then it doesn't come from God Himself. So it's not an Azhara that would generate an Onesh. So what is it according to the Ramban? Aval hu his hira midaito. Imagine, the Malach made his own decision. That's what the Ramban says. A Malach has the ability, if he sees it necessary, to make a decision, in this case, to decide to tell them, don't look back. Shiagilem onish barbotahi, he figured out that something drastic, something catastrophic is going to happen if they look back. Is Bemela, since he wasn't transmitting a tzivui, now the Ramban says, I understand why he was addressing Lot. He, the Malach, was interested in saving Lot's life. He realized that it's very dangerous to look back, And the Ramban is going to spend the entire paragraph here explaining why it's dangerous to look back at stone. And the Malach was interested in saving Lot from this dangerous helikoso, this, how do you say, dangerous situation, that what? That Lot might be tempted to look back. Says the Ramban, but who his here as Lot lizchuso? What does that mean, lizchuso?
His merit.
In his merit? So if you take a look at the Pirish again, this number Kuf Tzadi, he says Ladas even as a Hizra Malchus Lot Vesbene Beso. Ach Ladas Rabbeinu, according to the Ramban, Hizra Malchus Lot Bilvad, Madua Hizra Rak Oso, Hainu Lefish Oislo Schus, Verak Machma Schuso Nitzlu Kulam. Who and why would really be saved in his own merit from the terrible devastation that God meted out against Stone? It was only Lot. No one else had his chus.
What's zachut?
Zachut. No one else had a merit.
What zachut did?
Oh, well, Lot was a great machnis arachim, was he not? Do you remember it says vayiftzar bahem ma'od? Now here, my friends, we have a tremendous machlok between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi holds that Lot, you were there, well, Lot was saved b'schus Avram, his uncle. But the Ramban's opinion is that Lot was saved b'schus Atzmo. And therefore the Malach, knowing that it was important for Lot to be saved, he informed Lot that it would be very dangerous for him to look back. So that it's not like Rashi's pshat. Rashi says, Inyon Isar Abata, why is it not permissible to look back? Omar Rashi, Atayr Shati Moem. Really, you, Lot, deserve to die with them, together with Stone. Ubizchut Avram Atanitzel. I'm only saving you because of Avram. Right? This Rashi Lishitaso, that Avram was the. It was only because of Avram that Lot was spared. Eicha Rashai Liros Bipurnosam, you who deserve the same Puranios and the same punishment as they do, you have no right to see as their punishment, because you should also suffer that punishment. But the Ramban is going to offer a whole other pshat. Again, that all the family of Lot was saved b'schus Lot. But it was very dangerous for them to look back for whatever reason. The Ramban is going to give his explanation. The Ramban is going to say there was a malach, a mashkas, and you can't look at the malach, and so forth and so on. But Rashi says you have no right to see the Peronius that's beaded out to those evildoers because you deserve to suffer that same destiny. Now I want you to look in Makoros v'Yudim on the bottom right on page Tov Samach Aleph. He explains why the Ramban rejects Ibn Ezra. The Ramban's premise is if this warning was formulated in Lashon Yochid in the singular, Al Tabit Acharecha, then it means that the Malach is speaking to Lot and only to Lot. He's only interested in saving Lot. And therefore he tells Lot, don't look back. And why is he only interested in saving Lot? Lot is the only one who has a schus, who deserves to be saved in his own merit. Ibn Ezra proves from the case, the episode of Eitz Hadas, that even when the Azhar is given B'Lashon Yochid, not like the Ramban, it's not limited to one person, the Azhar applied even to Chava. So the answer, he says, is given by the Ramban himself. The Ramban himself, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the Azhar of Adam Achilas Eitz Hadas, which was said in Lashon Yochid Al Tochal, the Ramban says that Chava was punished because she was included in Adam. Etzem me'atzomav shal Adam Arishon. So the Azhar was chal on both Adam and Chava. And now, last but not least, if you take a look in Bir Haramban Kuftzadi Beis, and I underlined it, he says the following: Lepirish Rashi lo nitzal lot bischus atzmo el bischus acherim. Achein l'das Rabbeinu, according to Ramban, nitzal lot bischus atzmo. K'mo shekosev who hizir es lot lischuso. Lot deserved to be saved. And therefore, he says, the Ramban is going to have to offer another interpretation as to why the Malach warned Lo not to look back, it couldn't be as Rashi would have, because he, Lo, deserved the same peronial. Now, what I find fascinating, again, we're running a little bit short on time, and again, there's a whole other Ramban that I wanted to do with you on the other side of the page. We'll have to leave that for another time, maybe 10-20. Is that at the face of it, Rashi's right. Lot didn't deserve in and of himself to be saved. Because even in the great action of Achnosas Archim, what did Lot offer in order to protect those Archim who came to him in stone? His own daughters. And Chazal tell us that because he was so laid back about his daughters and their purity and their modesty, ultimately he's going to suffer the immodest act of living with those same two girls. So you see that Avram was the pure Achnasas Archim, Lot was not the pure Achnasas Archim, but nevertheless the Ramban says he was saved by Zchus Atzmi.
We'll continue after Maya.
Let's continue and look at the Ramban here in Perek Yudtes. But in this case, Pasuk Lamed Beis. We'll read the Pasuk together, and then we'll take a look at the Ramban. I want to focus on the Ramban on Unechaya Me'avinu Zara. On those three words in the Torah, the Ramban has something to say of significance, and he argues with Red Dock.
So the Benos Lot declare Unechaya Me'avinu Zara. Says the Ramban, V'tam, and the meaning of these words, Unechaya Me'avinu Zara. And if you take a look at the Pirush on the bottom, he wants to explain what bothers the Ramban here. He says, Pasuk ze hosif Rabbeinu lachar sholo l'Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's historical comment. Okay, great. Tomorrow.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah. So he says the following. Bi'ulai. How could they say Nechaya Avinu Zora in such a definite way, as if there's no question about it? You know, you can have a relationship between a man and a woman. Nobody can guarantee you that from that relationship they'll be able to procreate. So why do they say in such a definite way Unechaya Avinu Zora? Says the Ramban, don't take this pasuk literally. Be'ulai. What they really meant to say was that maybe we'll succeed in having children.
Why they use that lashon?
Oh, that's what the Ramban is going to address. I'm glad you asked that. So on the one hand, it sounds like they're saying it bivadaut with certainty, when in truth, according to the Ramban, they didn't know for a fact. There's nobody who could tell them al pi terra, you know, in the physical universe, that they would certainly give birth to children. So that's the paradox here of this pasuk. That's why I wanted to learn this with you. Ki Amru, what was their thinking? Nasa anachnu hamasa haroi lanu. We can only do that which we think is appropriate. Do you have it inside? I want you to see it inside.
Sorry.
In the Ramban, he has the Ramban here. So we will do that which we have to do, which we should do. And God will do the rest, which is always true for procreation, for period of review. You know, we got to do what we got to do. And now it's up to the one above. He says,
even say, calculate their vessels. Or were they still Mizula? Because they were married. They did have...
Let's see how the Ramban develops this. He says the following. Why were they convinced that this is going to be a good thing and a successful project? He says, Ki Yerachem Elokim, God will have mercy. And Vinolid Zachar Unikeva. And we'll give birth to a Zachar Unikeva. And that's why one of them couldn't have done this alone without the other one. The hope was that one would have a Zachar and the other would have an Ikeva. V'yiskayim ha'olam mehem. And they, the two of them, would get married. Right? They'll be first cousins, and they'll get married, and they'll have children, and they'll give the world an existence.
They thought the world was Zeu.
Exactly.
Even Avram and Sarah.
We're talking about the Bnos Lot.
Yeah.
And they thought that the world was totally destroyed. Yeah. That's what they believe. Because otherwise, what does it mean when it says Unechaya Me'avinu Zorah? Look at the previous pasuk. He says, "V'ish ein ba'aretz lavo aleinu kederach kol aretz." There's no one else to have relations with you.
We don't have it there.
With us. Okay, I mean, as long as you hear the words, right? Now, you could say that if one of them would have relations with Lot, then she would first have twins, male and female, or maybe one after the other. They would have a zochar, and then in a cave, they could do this twice. But maybe between the two of them, they could give birth to a zochar and a cave respectively, and then there'd be a kiyum ha'olam. Therefore, they both want to do this maisa together, and their intention was not znus, but rather kiyum ha'olam to keep the world going. And now the Ramban continues. He says, "Ki olam chesed yibane." He quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that God created the world with chesed, which is a pasuk in Peites in Tehillim. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Nunchesam and Beis, you'll see it on the bottom. Mipnei malo nasa Adam es bito. Why didn't Adam Arishon marry his own daughter? Kidei sheyisa Kayin es achoso. Hashem's plan was that Kayin would marry his sister. Shenemar ki amarti olam chesed yibana. So Rashi says on that Gemara, Tchilasa shel olam nivne b'chesed, shetziva adam arishon, ligmol chesed es bino, v'asra lo, v'itira l'kayin. That Adam Arishon prohibited himself, he enjoined himself, it was self-imposed prohibition from having a marriage relationship with his own daughter. And the chesed was that he would offer her to Kayin so the Kayin could be Mekayim, period for riv. And that was the chesed that Adam Arishon actually implemented. Kideshi Bada Olam. So really the existence of the world, which came through Kayin and his sister, was a result of the chesed of Avraham, of Adam Arishon. And therefore, in the parash of Arayis in Vayikra Chav, it says Ish Asher Yikach Sachoso Bas Oviv Chesed Hu. That which the Torah calls Chesed, meaning a man having relations, an incest relation with his sister, that's what Hashem allowed Kayin for the sake of Chesed to implement. So even though these girls, the Bnos Lot, were going to have relations with their father, which is something very repulsive.
Is it really repulsive?
Well, let's wait for the Ramban for that, if you don't mind. Just because, you know, we want to get to the Ramban. But what they're saying is that even though it's not the lechatchila situation for daughters to have relations with their father, but nevertheless, they felt that Hashem, for the sake of Kiyum HaOlam, would allow this kind of incestual relationship, just as he did in the case of Kain and his sister, because Olam Chesed Yibana.
Maybe it's different brother to sister than his father to daughter.
Could be. Excellent question. He's going to address that in his beer, but look at the last four words in this paragraph. The Ramban says, "Velo lechinam hitzilano Hashem." They also had another logical argument. Why did God spare them? The whole world was destroyed in their mind, in their understanding, and they were survived. They were left to survive. What rights? What merits did they have?
Got to populate.
Unless it was to populate the world. And that's what he says here. Chashu shlo yitochet sheitzilam Hashem rak avor tzidkas avim olizchus Avram. They didn't believe that it was because of their father's great virtue that they were spared, or because of their uncle's great zchus, his merit. Bevadai, it must be shahaisa kavanosam latzolosam, that the kavan in their atzolah was l'man kiyum ha'olam. Because otherwise, that God spared them for no purpose whatsoever, for no goal. Now, it's very important that we look in the Makoros V'yunim on the bottom, and here Rav Aaron has the following insight. He says on the words of the Ramban, "V'yiskayim ha'olam mehem," that they thought the world would be propagated through them. Rabbeinu, the Ramban holds, "Ki l'kiyum ha'olam u'l'tovaso niskavnu," their intention was to keep the world going. Aval, but that's not universally accepted. Haradak, Reb David Kimchi Pirish, in his Pirish al Torah, he was before the Ramban, "Shetovas aviyam lot bikshu." What they were after was the benefit of their own father Lot.
What does that mean?
Okay, ki amru, because they declared, says the Radak, "Im anachnu namus b'lo zora hine lo yishoyer zochar me'avinu." They wanted to see that their father would have some progeny, some male that would come out, or maybe lo yishoyer zecher me'avinu, some memory of our father. Right, that's what Yibum is all about, for example. Right, if somebody dies childless. Ubazeh pireish v'nichye me'avinu zora. Keep in mind that the Radak is very close. He has a big advantage because their declaration was l'cha nashke es avinu u'nechaya me'avinu zora, that our father should have a zera. So they were really interested not in kiyum ha'olam as the Ramban would have it, but rather in kiyum of their father as the Radak would have it.
That would fit better if it said v'nechaya le'avinu zora. The same male being doesn't show that they're doing it for him.
Excellent, excellent point. So 2 points for the Ramban then. He says, "Ki kol misha lo yishar zara, lo yashir zara hareyu kemes." He's considered like a dead person. "Im lo yashir acher dover sheizkar shmo." There's no one behind him. After him, following him, that will be a memory of his name. He says, "Vehine lepirish haradak lo bikshu laholid ben ubas ki dailahem sheolidu ben obas." Here's the nafkamina between the Radak and the Ramban. From the Ramban's frame of reference, the only way they could propagate the world that was completely destroyed was if they'd have both a male and a female. But from the Radak's perspective, it would be sufficient for them to have one child who would carry on the name of Lot.
Well, if they did,
Lot could have relations again. One of their sons could have relations with one of them.
Lot could have relations with whom? There's no one left in the world.
The child that was born.
Well, let's say it's a male. That's
who. The male could be with the son.
Right, but that we said already before, that they wanted to produce a male and a female that would marry each other. They wanted to create the next generation that would propagate the world. He says the following, "Umachlokasam," what is the root of the machlokas between the Radak and the Ramban? He says it's an earlier machlokas, because the Ramban earlier said that "Hayu bnos lot zvuros shecharev kol ha'olam," the daughters of Lot were of the opinion, they came to the conclusion that the entire world was completely desolate. No human being was left alive. They thought it was a repeat of the Babel. And therefore, they felt a responsibility to save the world. So there would ultimately have to be a ben and a bas. Aval haradak sover sheyodu bnos lot sholom kayom. The bnos lot were aware of the fact that outside of stone there was life on this planet. They didn't think that they would be able to marry anybody. The Radak, I don't have the Radak inside. I don't know if the Radak explains why, but they thought that no one would marry them, and therefore their only chance to be Machaya Zera La'avinu, not Me'avinu, but La'avinu, would be if they would have relations with their father. So that's fascinating. And now the Ramban is going to address the fact that they declare Unechaya Me'avinu Zora, since they feel that Hashem will be Merachem because Olam Chesed Yibona and allow this relationship to exist. Take a look at Gimel on the bottom right. I hope it came out on your page.
This is a side point. How do they know that this concept of Olam Chesed Yibona existed before the Tehillim?
Well, Olam Chesed Yibona is just David's formulation of why God allowed it such that Cain would have relations with his own sister. And the answer is Olam Chesed Yibona. In other words, that it's
the concept was around, but the actual
that for the sake of propagating the world, Hashem allowed this to go on, this incestuous relationship. But take a look at the footnote on the bottom. Harish midas hachesed hikiyum ha'olam ubinyano, and the building of the world. Bekevet shehem is kavnu l'kiyum ha'olam v'tikuno roi hu sheyasa imoem chesed v'yatzliach machshavtom. Since the midah of chesed is the foundation of the entire world, and since their purpose, their intention was kiyum ha'olam, so there's an equation, A equals B equals C. Chesed is kiyum ha'olam, their intention was kiyum ha'olam, therefore there would be chesed. Interesting. There's a deep philosophical idea here that if a person has the right intentions and he fulfills God's will, then God will see to it that his intentions will come to fruition. And
even though it may be wrong, in reality, but since they had good intentions,
right. Again, within a certain context, yeah. You know, it's got to be for the kiyum olam binyano, the olam achesed. You wanna, it's got to be a relationship which really strictly al pi din would be okay in the Rabban's case. Vilachain, this is a punchline that I wanted to share with you. Dibru beloshon vadai unechayam me'avinu zar. Remember, the question was, they couldn't have known that for sure they would have children, and yet they use a language that reflects certainty. He says, "Velo beloshon misupekas," not a question. He says, "Ki haminu," they had belief. Here's where faith comes in. Faith will bridge the gap between lack of certainty and certainty. Ki haminu sheyia. That certainly God would bring about a success in their endeavor, and they would have children so that the world would be propagated. And finally, the Ramban says, Vehine on the left side, Hayutznuos. The Ramban now wants to know, why didn't they tell Lot that this is a good thing?
And he knew by the second one.
Okay, but they didn't reveal it to him. Right? Hayutznuos. Wow. 2 points for the Bnos Lot. They were tznuos. It would be a lack of modesty on their part to say, "Oh, Dad, you know, let's have a marital relationship here." Ki ben noach mutar bevito. In other words, it's only a matter of tznius, because technically, legally, he would be permitted to have relations with his daughters. Okay, that itself is gigantic machlokes between the Ramban and the Rambam, but that's the Ramban l'shitoso. Oh, you remember what the catchphrase "oh" always means in the Ramban?
Oh, you said it's the
Chazer. Alternatively, let me give you another shot that maybe we have to hold like the Ramban, that there's no way that that Lot would have agreed to this relationship because it was a prohibited, illicit relationship. Oh, Shayadovar Mechor Miod Bieni Adoros Ahem Vlo Nasa Ke Miolo. He says that never in history had this ever happened before this point, that a father would have relations with his daughter.
They've had mother with the son. They have had.
They did? Remind me, what are you referring to?
Maybe later on in history.
I don't know. But take a look here in Reish Samachay in the Biur. He says, Latam Harishon. What's the difference between the two explanations of the Ramban? Lo Bikshu, Me'avia Machmas Tni Usam, Achlu. According to the first explanation, the first explanation is that they were modest, but Lot would actually acquiesce. He would agree to the plan, because technically, legally, he's permitted to have relations with his daughter. So they would have certainly presented the plan, and Lot would have approved, but they didn't want to present the plan because they were too embarrassed about the whole thing. But according to the second reason, reasoning. Lo bikshu machmashi hadavr mechur biyosef chashu shem yivakshu imenu lo yisratzel lekach v'lachein osu kein barma. They thought that there's no way under the sky that Lot would agree to such a thing. It was so mechuar, it was so disgusting. This is a brilliant insight into the difference between the two answers of the Rabbah. We have, so let me just review, just to summarize, we have two different explanations of what the daughters wanted to achieve. We have the Ramban on one hand, the Radak on the other. The Ramban wants to say that they wanted to propagate, to guarantee the maintenance, the continuance of the world. The Radak says they wanted to propagate Lot, their father, and he has enough community between the two as to whether or not they needed ultimately to have a boy, a male and a female. And now he has a machlokas within the Ramban, two interpretations. The Ramban himself vacillates why the girls themselves didn't tell Lot about the plan to get him on board, either because he, although he would have agreed at the end to their plan, but nevertheless they were embarrassed, they were modest, or he wouldn't agree because it was a davar mechuar, lo nasa kein b'chol hadoros me'olam forever and ever.
If that was so, then why is it Rashi later on, when he does it again, Rashi says he was punished because he should have been more careful. If it really was so before that he never would have agreed, then he would have been careful.
Do me a favor, show me the Rashi inside.
The Ubukuma, and with them, right, they're getting up. So Rashi
says, Ubukuma shall Bechira, Loma shall Bechuma Yada. He knew about it. Right. He got drunk the second night.
But if it really was so mechor b'yosu, he would have been very careful.
Yeah. So Rashi then would have to agree with the first pshat in the Ramban. Excellent, excellent point. Now, last but not least, before we end, I want you to look at Nun Hey in the Makoros, the Iyunim, and there the Ramban says Ure'e Baradak. Check out the Radak on Pasuk Lamed Gimel Shekosishlo Hirgish Lot Meirov Shikruso. Aval Imayam Margish Koyam Meiriv Imayam. Lot was so dead drunk that he didn't know that this was going on. But the Radak points out that had he known about it, had he not been totally stoned, then he would have objected to it. He would have fought them off. So obviously the Radak is holding like the second shot in the Ramban, and as you point out very well, Rashi would seem to accept which pshat in the Ramban? The first pshat, that Lot would have apparently agreed. Haraya, he was careless and he didn't take precautions. Okay then?
We'll stop here. Okay.